My special guest for this show is Madeleine Albright. She was the first woman to serve as Secretary of State, and she's also the former ambassador to the United Nations. She's recently written the memoir, Madam Secretary, recounting her life, including her years as the highest-ranking woman in U.S. government. Secretary Albright, welcome to Studio 360.
Great to be with you, Kurt.
The artist we just heard, Anna Deavere Smith, interviewed you, I understand, last year for her work. What was that experience like?
Well, it was great. First of all, I respect her a great deal as an artist and actor, and she came to interview me and observe me, frankly. It was interesting to have her watch me talk with my hands or sit in a particular way. And then I went to see her where she performed at Carnegie Hall, and it was fun to see her do various characters, including me, but she really is remarkable. The other fun thing with her was that we talked about West Wing and the fact that she was the National Security Advisor on that show and the history of the National Security Council. So I think she's terrific.
Speaking of West Wing, how well do you think that program captures the reality of the White House as you experienced it?
Well, I think it does a very good job. It isn't physically, you know, in the White House, there aren't all those glass corridors and people running around all the time.
And probably everyone's not quite as cute as those actors either.
I don't know about that. They're pretty cute people. But the thing that it really does capture very, very well is the fact that when you're in those high-level positions, you never deal with just one issue. You're constantly bombarded with a variety of issues, and you have to be able to deal with all of them simultaneously and understand the priorities and know that no matter what is on the top of the pile in the morning is the most important, may not end up that way at night. So I think it does a good job on that.
Do you think in general that we as people, as an audience, as Americans, trust artists, filmmakers, writers to capture something true about the political process? Do we depend on that? And is our understanding of politics as much a result of what Aaron Sorkin tells us as it is what we learn in civics class?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's a combination because if it's a good program like West Wing, I think that it really does exemplify some of the issues that are dealt with. It probably over-dramatizes things, but it, I think, creates an interest in policy. But it doesn't supplant, or in my mind should not supplant, what we learn in school. So I would not want, though I have a terrible feeling that it's happening more and more, to have people become educated only through dramas on television, even the very good ones. But I have to tell you a true and weird story, which is I was traveling back from the West Coast, and sitting on the plane with me was Josh from West Wing, Brad Whitmore. And, and we started talking, and he is a truly smart person. And we had a great policy discussion, and we were chattering along. And the person in front of us said, "I can't deal with this. You were the real Secretary of State, and he plays this role on television, and yet you're having a really intelligent discussion." So there is this kind of fuzzy line between reality as practiced in the real world and reality on television.
That's wonderful. You lead to my next question, which was, I wonder, when you're in those, you know, august places of power that we know in terms of the simulations of them in movies and for all of our lives, do you ever feel or do you get the sense that other people around you, the president, the vice president, are affected by having grown up watching The Manchurian Candidate, The Best Man, all of these films that, you know, have shaped the way we look at this world? Or when you're there, are you really focused on, you know, dealing with Kosovo?
No, you really are focused on dealing with the real issues. There's no question about that. But what I was affected by, which is something different, is you sit in the White House, in the Oval Office, or in the Cabinet Room, or in the residence, and you cannot help but be completely influenced by the fact that other people have sat in those same chairs and that you are part of a stream of history. And I used to kid about the fact that there was me and then there was Madeleine Albright, you know, and trying to remember when I went home that I was just me in my same old house. And the other times I really was the 64th Secretary of State, and that I had Thomas Jefferson's job. So a little bit of all that goes on.
Your family came here as refugees from the communists in Czechoslovakia. Do you have an experience of the difference for artists, for avant-gardists, living in a free, albeit precarious, society like Czechoslovakia before the war and in a repressive totalitarian society like the communist regime in the 50s?
Well, in the Cold War period, what really happened was that many of the artists were kind of forced to do socialist realism and suppress their own sense of creativity. And some of them, more writers than painters, were able to produce their work literally. They might type one copy and then somebody else would retype it, and there was what was known as samizdat. So somebody like Václav Havel was able to get his work circulated in that particular way. But for the most part, the tragedy was that creativity was completely suppressed and then blossomed when freedom finally came.
My guest today is Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State. I'm Kurt Anderson, and we are talking about democracy and our culture as part of Public Radio's special coverage, Whose Democracy Is It?